Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Acme Packing Company podcast feed. This is a NFL Combine mini pod for Wednesday, February 28th. This is Tex Western here of Acme Packing Company, recording from here in Indianapolis. Just wrapped up the first day of player media availability this morning on Wednesday. So we had the defensive linemen and linebackers coming through the room earlier this morning. Broke down a few players, got a few clips up on the Acme Packing Company Twitter and Instagram pages, so check those out. But I wanted to touch base on a few notable players who came through and talked to the media today. One of the big ones was linebacker Edifuan Ulufoshio. He was one of the best interviews, really, in this entire day. Linebacker out of Washington, kind of a rangy guy. Justice and Tyler have talked about him on the Draft Talk podcast the other day when they really broke down the linebackers and how they both really like him and have him rated a little higher than some of the consensus boards. But he's had a really interesting story. He's an older player. He spent 6 years at the University of Washington, but he grew up in Anchorage, Alaska, not a place known for putting out a whole lot of NFL players. He's the son of a pair of Nigerian immigrants, and then after living in Alaska for several years, they moved down to Las Vegas when he was in high school, and he enrolled at Bishop Gorman High School, which is one of the bigger, more prestigious programs across the country. But he had to walk on at the University of Washington and really earn his starting spot, and due to a combination of injuries and things, he didn't really get to make a big impact until this last season, when he started every game, had a All-American consideration season, and now he's looking at potentially being maybe a mid-round pick, maybe, you know, late day two, early day three, hopefully. But might be a really good fit potentially for the Packers as like a will linebacker. We'll see obviously how he tests on Thursday. That's when the linebackers and D linemen will take to the field at Lucas Oil. So we'll break down that a little bit later this week. But check out the write-up that put up on him up at Acme Packing Company. We've got a great clip of him telling a story about a run-in with a moose that he had when he was 6 years old. Couple other players in the linebacker group that are notable with some Packers or Green Bay or Wisconsin connections. Peyton Wilson from NC State. He's generally seen as one of the top linebackers in this class. Tackling machine. Also has dealt with some injuries, but he's the little brother of Bryce Wilson, who's a pitcher, relief pitcher for the Brewers. And talked about how the two of them, just the two kids in the family growing up in rural North Carolina, and how they really were really close together as brothers. They're separated by about 3 years in age. So so it would be pretty cool if he were to land in Green Bay and potentially end up being closer to his brother. Would certainly make it easier on the family to have both of the kids in Wisconsin and doing their thing. Said he played primarily the will, the weak side linebacker at NC State, but likes the idea of the challenge of being a Mike in the NFL as well as potentially playing a will. Certainly seemed like a type of player who would embrace the challenge of calling the defense and having the speaker in the helmet. Also talked at length about his wrestling background and how that plays into his game. Normally you see a lot of that from defensive linemen especially, some offensive linemen as well, but interesting to see that from a linebacker. One of the things I think I'll be interested to see is where he weighs in and how he tests. He did say that he played in the high 230s for most of this season and feels like that's a good weight for him and lets him both be powerful as a tackler as well as being able to flow and move quickly and change direction as well. Another guy that was a great interview was Ohio State linebacker Steel Chambers. Former running back, he switched over to the linebacker after 2 years at Ohio State. He's a character. He's a little out there, and he kind of has been flipping the script on NFL teams that bring him in for interviews, and he's been asking them kind of wacky questions about animals. Just seems like that's one of those personality traits that he has, is he likes sort of being a little subversive maybe, and throwing things out there. He also he referred to himself as, quote, a pretty weird guy. I think he also had dropped the only swear word that I heard in a player presser today. But a couple clips of him up on the site as well. He actually went to high school with J.D. Bertrand, who's also a linebacker in this year's class, who played at Notre Dame. And they were apparently telling some stories about each other. Bertrand talked about how Chambers took some ballet classes when he was in high school. And then Chambers talked about an accident or a little mishap that Bertrand had. So check out that video as well. Defensive lineman wise, you know, certainly the Packers don't necessarily need any top level edge rushers at this point, given that Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary will be back. I'll touch on Preston in just a minute. But did talk to a couple of defensive tackles. One guy who, again, has a Packers connection is Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. He's the son of All-Pro defensive tackle Chris Jenkins, but that's also he's also nephew of Cullen Jenkins, the former Packers defensive lineman. It's interesting. He's built much more like Cullen Jenkins was, about 6'3", 305, something like that, whereas his dad was more around 350, 360 when he played mostly with the Panthers. But I asked him about that, and if he, you know, if he takes any lessons more from his uncle than his dad, and he just had to laugh and said, "Yeah, I might look like my uncle, but I've got strength like my dad had." So he was an entertaining guy to listen to, very charismatic and very you know, seemingly very happy to be there. He did also talk about how his very first football memory was going to a Panthers-Packers game in Carolina when Chris and Colin, his dad and his uncle, were playing against one another, getting to go out on the field and go check out the locker room. But he did say that that the Packers won that game, so he and his dad were a little bit bummed out afterwards. But an interesting, fun little tidbit there from Chris Jenkins. One of the other things I was trying to get a little bit of a feel for from some of the players at this year's Combine is guys who've played for Jeff Hafley, the new Packers defensive coordinator. Got a chance to talk to two of them who played for Ohio State in 2019 when Hafley was the co-defensive coordinator for that program. One was Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who transferred to Notre Dame as a grad transfer this last year. He was a reserve defensive lineman in 2019 and talked a lot about Jeff Hafley having a real attacking, aggressive approach to his defenses, and certainly that worked for his team. It's going to that 2019 Ohio State team specifically. Talked about really just letting the front four work in pass rush, and then kind of trusting his cover guys and his coverage schemes on the back end, but doing so in an aggressive way. The other guy I talked to about Hafley a little bit was Tommy Eichenberg, the other linebacker out of Ohio State. Eichenberg was a redshirt freshman that season in 2019. Excuse me, true freshman that year. He did redshirt that season, and would go on to be a three-year starter for Ohio State, but couldn't say enough about, you know, Hafley being a great guy, having a good relationship with him, being really smart, and then being a really good leader in the room as a defensive coordinator. So a few good things to hear about Hafley. We'll try to follow up. There's a couple of Boston College players, and then maybe one or two more Ohio State defenders coming up tomorrow when the defensive backs are in the media room. So try to keep following up on that, see what other information we can get just on how his players feel, former players feel about Hafley. To wrap it up, one little bit of Packers news today. Preston Smith, outside linebacker, now turned defensive end, renegotiated his contract with the Packers. So cut a little bit of base salary off of his deal and reduced his salary cap hit by about $2.5 million. Give the Packers a little bit of extra flexibility this season with the cap. And then as part of that deal, he got some additional incentives, it looks like, based on reporting from Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That's going to give him a chance to actually, if he hits those numbers, make more money than he would have before today's renegotiation. But so kind of a win, potential win-win for both teams. Packers get a little bit of cap relief. You know, Preston takes a little bit of a hit on the base salary, but gets some additional incentives to help him potentially make a little bit more money. Certainly the way that works with a cap, incentives that are not likely to be earned, i.e. incentives that are there that a player did not reach in a previous season, don't count against the cap for the following year. So it sounds like some of those incentives are revolving around him having double-digit sacks in 2024. That'd be a little bit of a step up from where he was this season. Preston was, I think, just short of that number in 2023. Eight sacks this year. So he's been just a little shy of that the last 3 years, nine sacks in 2021, 8.5 in 22, eight sacks last year. So, but be interesting to see how the Packers really do, you know, use that new 4-3 scheme under Halfley. If there's, you know, he should have some more opportunities to really just pin his ears back and focus on rushing the passer, as opposed to a lot of the coverage responsibilities that were put on him under the Joe Barry defense. Obviously, we've seen the highlights and lowlights of him being one-on-one on occasion. You know, the Devontae Adams play obviously comes to mind. So being down with his hand in the dirt, probably will have a little bit more of an opportunity this year to get after the quarterback a little bit, and we'll see. Maybe that ends up making him a little bit of money. But with that, the Packers have now made some adjustments to both of their starting defensive linemen's contracts. So Smith and Rashawn Gary, who had some roster bonus money restructured into a signing bonus and spread out for the next couple of years. Between the two of those guys, looks like they've freed up about $7 million in additional cap space. So that certainly will help with the flexibility of the free agent market moving forward in the next couple weeks. As just a reminder, the new league year starts on March 13th, so that's when free agency will officially begin. The negotiation period, the so-called legal tampering period, starts 2 days beforehand. And certainly it sounds like, based on Brian Gutekunst's comments on Tuesday, that the Packers are going to have a decision on David Bakhtiari and his contract before that point. Looking at that being kind of the deal or the deadline for making a decision on Bakhtiari. Again, if the Packers release him, they can save about $21 million in cap space. As we talked about with Paul Noonan on reporting as eligible yesterday, doesn't seem like it's, you know, likely that there's going to be much of a trade market for him at this point, given the state of the knee and the fact that he's still recovering from that cleanup surgery that he had earlier in the fall. So we'll see where that goes. But for now, thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow to break down the defensive backs. Certainly the Packers will have some interest in corners and safeties, I think, in this draft class. And then we'll be back in on Friday when the offensive prospects start rolling in. Quarterbacks, receivers, running backs are in the media room on Friday. So focus probably pretty heavily on the running back position on Friday. But again, drills begin on Thursday, starting with the front seven players that I talked to today. Moving on to DBs on Friday, quarterbacks, receivers, running backs on Saturday, and then eventually wrapping up with the O-linemen on Sunday. So thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon, and go Pack Go!